Rusty, how you been, sir?
How you doing, my man? It's been a while.
It has. Love having you back. What are they doing in the state of Georgia? Because they just announced here August 29th before they could even really practice. What's going on there?
Yeah, you know, kind of paying attention myself, but you look at Georgia yesterday, and they're easing restrictions a little bit more as practice begins. You know, we kind of started with early June. We had groups of 20 that could practice high school, and you had to clean the weight rooms down and all that. No balls for 2 weeks, just conditioning. Then they gave them groups of 30 with a ball. Then they gave them groups of 50. Still, no pads, anything like that. Just a ball. We could throw some stuff around. Well, we're on the dead week here in Georgia, probably most of the country is. So we come back July the 6th. They just announced yesterday that when you come back next week, they're going to allow basketball teams can do 5-on-5, football teams can do 7-on-7. They can't do it against each other. But your high school team can go out and compete against each other. And I think that's a big step forward for Georgia, because we're going to have kids that are going to be close to each other, competing against each other. I don't want to answer for anybody, but doing those steps starting back day one in July, Georgia is on track to play high school football and to start on time.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's totally different. I mean, I'm saying it's right. I'm not saying Georgia's right, but I sent you a DM last night. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw it.
Between
yeah.
Georgia and Tennessee, I mean, it's two opposite directions. Georgia, I mean, they're preparing for fall camp at the end of this month. And then Tennessee's like, hold up, we can slow this thing down. So it's just two different situations going on.
Here, when it's not the dead period, you can get together and work out in groups, you know, maybe groups of 7 or 10 or whatever. Then they could take you out to the field and do some things. But sure. It did not involve – I don't think it involved a ball very often. And so that's – and they can continue to do that. But basically, we were told the other day, you cannot advance that until at least August 29th, which, heck, the season starts about 2 weeks before that. So –
yeah, Georgia will be in week – I looked at that. Georgia will be in week three.
Right.
Week two on the 29th. So I'm involved with the Corky Kale, which is a long-time kickoff classic in Atlanta. And again, I'm not answering for anybody. I don't want to say something that's not going to happen. But, you know, the NFL, because that game – those five games are in Mercedes-Benz. So when those discussions take place, you know, the Atlanta Falcons are involved with this. They really want to see how 15,000 people in that lower bowl will look and how the plan is. So everything that I've heard, we're on track to play. I think that's going to be the highlight. The game is going to be Hoover versus Lowndes. I think that's the end of the day. North of Gwinnett plays McEachern. So, you know, we're on track to have high school football. But, again, it could change at any time.
What did you hear from the Elite 11 up here?
You see the reaction, and everybody is in my world. Everybody's really upset because they felt like it was way too predetermined with Caleb Williams. You know, when the young man out of the D.C. area, who is generally considered the number one quarterback in the country, and I think it is. I just think that you know, kudos those guys for pulling it off. You know. You look at that, and from my perspective, the team I cover, Brock Vandergriff, one of them had a very good showing from Georgia. But listen, it's not, you know, I think Trent Dilfer explained to everybody yesterday, it was 75% film and 25%, you know, this 2.5-day evaluation where they sell this as a, you know, it's a year-long event. And I think everybody just, listen, man, we don't have any sports, man, so any type of news and competition, there's just going to be a lot of reaction right now. And it really, really yesterday, you know, that's the first time I've ever seen people really, really heated with Elite 11 and the results, because everybody kind of felt like their guy. You know, I think another guy from the state of Georgia had a really good showing was Carlos Del Rio Wilson, who's the Florida quarterback, transferred from McEachern High School over to Grayson High School, a school you're familiar with. So, you know, that was, he had a good showing as well. So a couple of Georgia kids really, really showed well. Really wish that we could have been there for us. Justin Fields was a counselor, and so was Jamie Newman. So we got to see those guys throwing around a little bit. But listen, you know, kudos those guys for putting it on. Any type of competition right now in high school football, I'll take it.
Yeah, I watched Dilfer talking to the team. Did the team, sure, or the players, the Elite 11 quarterbacks, did they or were they aware of this is 75% already predetermined and about a quarter of it will be what you do here? Did they know that?
From my understanding, no. And that's where it kind of got, hey, really, well, why do we, compete for 2.5 days? Unless I understand it. I run camps. I run MVP camps in Georgia, so I understand not everybody can be happy. So, again, I don't want to answer anybody. That's the first time I've ever seen that type of reaction toward an Elite 11 event. I mean, there was a ton of discussion everywhere, and, you see them releasing some stuff and things. So, again, not knocking them because those guys have always been good to me, have a good product, and kudos to them putting it on. But yesterday, that reaction, Mr. Williams, Caleb was announced the winner, it was definitely opinionated throughout the recruiting world.
Rusty Mansell, 24/7 Sports, with us on this Thursday edition. Old subject, but I have not got your thoughts on this. What is Georgia thinking bringing in JT Daniels with that loaded quarterback room?
No kidding, man. Too good to pass up. Too good to pass up the opportunity. And quite frankly, it did catch me off guard a little bit, and I feel like I'm as tight end as I can be there. And it was one of those things that broke. I heard a little bit about it the day before, and then it broke, the next morning on a Thursday, I believe. And, when I finally, got in touch with some people on the West Coast, what was crazy is that thing got down to Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, and really, really, really both recruited him really, really hard. So it's almost like Kirby Smart was like, look, I better get this guy. I'm going to play against him, I think JT Daniel, I have seen him in person. I saw him the whole week at the All-American Bowl in San Antonio. I know his history. This is a kid that's, he's not coming to Georgia to sit, but I was told this, that the one thing I was told, I can't answer for the waiver. That's why I get that question all the time. Right. You and I both will. I have no idea what the NCAA does, ever. You have no rhyme or reason with their answers. But I was told that he said, listen, I will come to Georgia, and if I lose my waiver, I will still wait my time to compete next year. So his mind frame was set on Georgia, and he felt like Georgia's roster was a place for him that he could have some success. Plus, they had four really, really good wide receivers they just brought in this class, and maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years of George Pickens. So, Dominic Blaylock, those guys. So he kind of felt like the roster was a little bit deeper from what I heard from guys on the West Coast. So it's interesting, man, and I think Kirby Smart probably understands you can have everything you have in the world, but you better have a quarterback, and he's doing everything he can to keep that room as full as he can.
Georgia Dog down on the Emerald Coast wants to know if you think Kelee Ringo out of Scottsdale will get playing time.
It would be hard for me to see him. By the way, his mother, I don't know if you saw Bill, his mother just got diagnosed with a very, very aggressive form of breast cancer. I met her, through his recruiting process. I met with her, talked to her in San Antonio, just a very, very proud mother of her young man. And you can tell those two are extremely close. And so my prayers are with her right now, and definitely Kelee. But Kelee Ringo is a 6'1". I tell you what surprised me. I saw him, Bill. He was 6'1", about 205 pounds. He's a 10-400-meter guy. So those type don't, he's number one corner in the country for 24/7 Sports. He locked down people in Texas. I remember Charles Powell, one of our recruiting analysts, we were talking about it in the hotel one night. He goes, man, that guy, that's an easy three and out. And Georgia's really, really, you look at DJ Daniel and Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell right now. They've got some really, really good corners. So I think he's going to get in some spots and still could be three and out at Georgia. He's definitely going to be an important piece of the puzzle in Athens.
I'll tell you the most jacked up corner, because, look, when I think of corners, I think of 5'11 back. I'm telling you, 6'1", about 225. He looked like an outside linebacker. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Kelee, the first time going down to Yulee, Florida to see Derrick Henry, and I tell this story, Fulton, he got out of a Chevrolet S10 single cab truck, and when he got out of it, I said, Derrick, I don't know how good you are, but I know you're athletic because I just saw you bend to be able to get out of that. But when you see Derrick Henry the first time, when you really see him in person, you think there's no way that guy's not going to be a linebacker. And it really wasn't until I saw him play Buford that I thought, well, this kid can play running back. You know, Yuli came up and played Buford. Even though they got beat pretty bad by a really good Buford team, you could tell in that game, you know, this guy was fluid. You know, he had some change of direction, big guy. But that's, I would imagine Patrick Peterson gets the same reaction as Derrick Henry. When you see him the first time, you're like, my goodness, there's no way that guy can play that position.
Corner.
And he's one of the best in the NFL.
Oh, I know. No. I've said this for about 20 years, 25 years, and you do it every day now, certainly more than I do. I think DB is the most difficult position to rank from high school to college. I really do, because they're not taught well technique. Yeah. They're just the best guy. Go get number 80, covering.
Sure.
And how often do they play Brock Vandergrift? You know, I mean,
well, the biggest difference now, Bill, in the last, say, 10 years,
yeah,
is you get to see all this 7-on-7.
Yeah.
So these kids, you see these DBs, and you see the one that you can't project is a guy like Eric Stokes. Okay, Eric Stokes came into Georgia
right
the very last morning, and they missed on somebody, and they took Eric Stokes away from Ole Miss that morning. He's going to wind up being a first-round draft pick. But Eric Stokes played running back and a little bit of slot wide receiver and a little bit of DB in high school.
Right.
So it took them a year to look at him and go, wait a minute now. I mean, but, you know, he was a 10-400 meter guy, and he was 6'1", 6'. That's the biggest thing, too, has changed, is length. Everybody's 5'11", 6'. You remember, you know, 15 years ago, you could throw a 5'9 corner over there, you know, and lock somebody up. Those days are over just because of the length. You've got to have that length now. In fact, I talked to a P5 coach probably a couple weeks ago, and he said, look, we will take a 6'1 kid that's a 4'6'5 over a 5'9 kid that's a 4'4 because you can make up that difference with your length. And I'll never forget seeing Kentucky play 2 years ago in Athens. May have been 3 years ago now. Their two corners were 6'2 apiece. And I was like, goodness gracious, these DBs are huge. But you think about it, you look at the pattern across the board, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, you know, even Tennessee now, everybody is getting longer at the corner position. It's getting a little easier to eval. To me, Bill, the toughest one to eval is the offensive line because – they're so much bigger than everybody they face normally in high school. You know, how's it going to be when everybody's just as big and as fast?
Well, the other thing is 6'5", 300 is not even unusual. It's just normal.
No.
It's just everywhere.
No, I saw a 6'5 kid from Atlanta yesterday, 6'5 and a half, probably 275. He's a rising ninth grader.
That wasn't the case 30 years ago.
No, definitely.
That guy was 6'2", 260 30 years ago.
Yeah. And jersey hanging off of him.
Right. All right, hey, I'll let you out the door. What are you grilling on the holiday weekend?
Going to the lake, and I am in charge. On the group text message yesterday, she said, no pressure on me. I got brisket duty. So, as you can imagine, Friday night will be a little busy for me. If we pull off on Saturday morning, I usually go on about 10 o'clock on the night before and probably go about 12 hours on that and get that thing sliced up and ready for Saturday afternoon. So I'll go brisket, man.
You do the all-night cook?
Oh, yeah, I do all night. And I'll get up around – I'll set it and get up around 3 a.m., double-check it and get back up at 7. And I've done that thing enough now. I'll do 4 or 5 a year. Haven't done any this year just because 2020 has sucked so bad. I've been on brisket probation for myself, I think. But I'm looking forward to this weekend, man, and just kind of getting away from everything and hoping we have football, man, so that's something to talk about this fall.
Rusty, appreciate you, bud.
Thank you, Bill.